This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
If you like the Young Turks podcast, I think you'll love a lot of the podcasts on the TYT network. Old School, it's one of my favorites, one of the favorites for a lot of the listeners. Please check that out, subscribe, share it. That makes a big difference, and give it a 5-star rating. Thank you. All right, welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian. We have a massive show. So we're gonna get into the Trump insanity at CPAC right off the gate. That's got a lot of fun stuff to it, except for the fact that our president is crazy. A little bit later in the show, Emma Vigeland has gone to a Bernie rally. She normally goes to Trump rallies or over the last 2 years. She asked Bernie supporters whether they believe in the mainstream media. It's an interesting question. We're going to find out what their answer is. So that's fascinating. Unfortunately, no justice again for two unarmed black men who have been shot two different places. And prosecutors saying, no, we will not prosecute, we'll explain, and they are particularly egregious cases. And then Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are attacked. Any given day, at least two Justice Democrats will be attacked by the right wing and the mainstream press.
And Democrats,
that's right.
Let's keep it real.
And the Ilhan Omar one, I think, is particularly outrageous. Wait till you see what the Democrats are gonna do to her. So that just broke a little while ago, and it is deeply frustrating. Okay, so we'll get to that a little bit later. Okay.
Oddly enough, the Anti-Defamation League is involved in that story, and they're engaging in defamation, in my opinion. But we'll get to that later.
Okay, you know what? A quick update, though, before we get to all the stories. You know how, just because this got me on a warpath on the hypocrisy. You know the story we covered for you in West Virginia with Ilhan Omar being called a terrorist, et cetera, by the vendor that was brought in by the Republican Party. One person was sanctioned there in that incident. Caputo, the Democrat who was so mad that he kicked a door open, they have stripped him of all committee positions.
No, like in modern day America, you are only criticized and you only pay consequences if you do the right thing.
That's right.
It's amazing. Okay.
All right. So with that background, we go to madness.
Yes. And madness ensued at CPAC. During CPAC, an annual conservative convention of crazy people, Donald Trump gave a 2-hour long speech where he rambled, went off script, and made fun of a number of people in his own party. Now, before he started his speech, he felt the need to hug the American flag. And so let's have a little bit of fun. Here it is.
Okay, now let me give you the famous quote that you see on a lot of bumper stickers. It's actually not Sinclair Lewis's, but it's now become a famous American saying. When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross. Now, there he is, literally wrapped in the flag. And 81% of white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and he's at the American, you know, at this conservative conference that's put together by the American Conservative Union. So
wrapped in the flag, carrying a cross, there he is.
So, and by the way, look, I say this conference is, you know, just a group of crazy people getting together. I don't think it always used to be that way. I might disagree with the political views of conservatives, but back in the day, there was at least some substantive conversation taking place. Whereas every year, it's devolving more and more, especially in the Trump era, where, you know, I mean, you have Michelle Malkin, you know, talking about, you know, the ghost of John McCain and in a very negative way. It's just really bad, bad people saying horrible things.
Yeah, nothing's ever enough. And so, look, if they were in a party that was centrist to begin with, that might be one thing. But they're already in a radical party that is far right. And I don't mean that just based on my opinion. I mean based on the polling that on any given issue. All of their proposals, tax cuts for the rich, getting rid of Obamacare, they hover between 15% to max 40%. They're deeply unpopular. Trump is deeply unpopular, almost never breaking 50%. Sometimes he brags about being at 45% when he peaks. It's not a thing to brag about. That means you're really unpopular. But he spends a lot of time in the 30s, okay? So meanwhile, progressive positions are wildly popular, etc. But they go there and at CPAC, they rave about and rant about how Republicans are not right wing enough. And they spit on the ghost of John McCain because he didn't do enough. And that worked so well for Michelle Malkin. She got a standing ovation.
Yes. Yeah.
So Jeanine Pirro came out and said, oh yeah, I hate McCain too, right? And it wasn't even about the healthcare vote.
It's just shameful. A lot of the stuff that went down, it's not about political policy. It was about the way that they defame people, including individuals in their own party who aren't extreme enough, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, without further ado, I want to give you some portions of Trump's speech which stood out to us, and that included his statements on Jeff Sessions.
Robert Mueller never received a vote, and neither did the person that appointed him. And as you know, the attorney general says, I'm going to recuse myself. And I said, why the hell didn't he tell me that before I put him in?
Okay, let's break that one down. First of all, I was led to believe by conservatives that doing a Southern accent is deeply offensive and is just as racist as being against black people. Where's the outrage? He just did a Southern accent. That was clear as day. Right? But when Trump does it, oh, come on, that's so much fun. Southerners are stupid, aren't they? And Trump's just making fun of that. That's great. Oh, okay. At least we're clear now.
Yeah, there's a very strange get out of jail free card for Trump when it comes to everything, right? So he can make fun of the military, he can make fun of generals, he can disrespect the troops. And that was something that we were led to believe was a no-go. You're not even allowed to criticize military efforts abroad without being accused of not supporting the troops, right? But with Trump, I mean, it's okay. He can make fun of the Southern accents, he can make fun of the military, he can make fun of the generals. He can do all of the things that conservatives pretended like they really cared about in the past, and they will not make him pay any consequences for it today.
I mean, they're so blind, they can't even see what Trump said there at the end. He said, if he had told me that he was going to recuse himself and then anybody was going to investigate me, I wouldn't have hired him. That's an admission that you would like to obstruct justice. You don't want any, you wanted the attorney general that's supposed to serve the American people, not the president, not his personal political fortune, right? Mm-hmm. But the American people. He's like, I didn't want him to serve the American people. I wanted him to serve me personally. And everybody's like, yeah, that's right. We don't want him serving us. We don't want to serve justice. We want him serving Trump so he protects him from all the illegal things that he did. That's such a good point by Trump. God, it's a room full of lunatics.
So that was one part of his speech. And again, it was a 2-hour long speech. In that speech, he also talked about the Mueller investigation further. Of course, he obsesses about it. And I just want you to pay close attention to some of the words that he uses in this next rant.
Now we have people that lost. And unfortunately, you put the wrong people in a couple of positions. And they leave people for a long time that shouldn't be there. And all of a sudden, they're trying to take you out with bull. Okay?
Okay, so he's in front of a crowd. He's not in a closed door meeting with some White House officials. And he curses. And this isn't the first time he's done it. He's done it a bunch of times. I don't care that he curses. That's really not something that concerns me. But I do care when conservatives make a big deal about videos like this one.
And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won. Bullies don't win. And I said, baby, they don't. Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the.
So that was Representative Rashida Tlaib, in case you missed that story, that of course conservatives made a huge deal about because she said, mother effer, referring to Trump. And what did Trump say about Rashida Tlaib's comments?
About the freshman congressperson's comments specifically about—
Well, I thought her comments were disgraceful. This is a person that I don't know. I assume she's new. I think she dishonored herself, and I think she dishonored her family. Using language like that in front of her son and whoever else was there, I thought that was a great dishonor to her and to her family. I thought it was highly disrespectful to the United States of America.
Dishonored herself and dishonored her family. So do you dishonor yourself and your family and the country when you're cursing up on stage? I would argue that it's dishonorable when you cheat on your wife while she's pregnant and then pay that woman hush money payments prior to the election. That's also dishonorable to everyone, including the American people and your family. But like, that's the thing. He'll stand up there and he'll curse. He'll do the exact same things that conservatives will criticize, you know, liberals for. And then he never pays the price for any of it. They'll stand, they'll give him a standing ovation. They don't care. They don't care. They have no morals. More importantly, no principles, no values. They pretend like they do, but they really don't.
Yeah, so let me double down on the lack of principles and intelligence on the part of conservatives, the voters, not just Trump. Okay, so they wildly applaud that. It was just a month ago when they were saying Rashida Tlaib cursing is unbearable. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Trump doesn't. They're like, he's so cool the way he just curses like a real person. I mean, do you guys hear yourselves? We're totally consistent on it. I don't care when Trump does it. I don't care when Tlaib does it. Don't care at all. You guys are the world's biggest hypocrites. I mean, do you have a mind? Do you listen to yourself? Do you have any principles that you apply evenly ever, ever? But I guess we're trying to talk to them as if they speak the language of logic, and they don't. All they care about is, am I winning or is my side winning or are we not winning? I don't care what facts are. I don't care what logic is. When Trump curses, it is by definition awesome. When Rashida Tlaib curses, it is by definition horrific and a crime against humanity. Okay, all right. I mean, what am I gonna do with people like that? So now, we're not done with the crazy. So Trump said three different things that I thought were hilariously wrong. Now, he spoke for 2 hours. He said dozens of things that were wrong. I'm just picking the funniest. Okay, so on the issue of Mueller, he's like, you know, sir, they have 13 angry Democrats that are running that probe. It's of course not true. Okay, but let's get to the funny part. And he's like, and one of them worked at the Clinton Foundation, in fact, ran the Clinton Foundation. Of course that's not true. Okay, you think we wouldn't know if someone on the Mueller team ran the Clinton Foundation?
No, he just makes it up.
No, he
does.
Standing
ovation.
Yeah. So it's the person he's referring to, presumably, maybe it's no one because he just makes things up, but presumably it's Jeanine Rhee. She was outside counsel, never worked for the Clinton Foundation as an employee, outside counsel on one small case. She ran the Clinton Foundation. Okay.
You know, sometimes when you win and then you have a bunch of people, you know, involved in this probe, like, he's crazy. He's crazy, right? Like, look, I get it. I get it. If you're a Republican, you want a Republican in office, but don't you want someone who's not deranged? Don't you want someone who doesn't make things up? Don't you want someone who's gonna tell you the truth? Don't you want someone who's not facing multiple investigations? Forget the Russia investigation. Multiple investigations for potentially breaking campaign finance laws, for using his own charitable foundation to enrich himself. There are so many investigations that he's facing right now, and these people are giving him a standing ovation as if he's doing anything positive for them. He's not doing anything for you. Have you filed your taxes yet? File your taxes.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy said, oh, you can name one thing that Trump is being investigated on. What? Okay. So you can find anything he did wrong. Okay. Anyway, so, and that's the leader of the Republicans in the House. So, and to Anna's point real quick, so we criticize Obama all the time on substantive policy issues that we disagree with him, we held him to account. But if Obama had come out and said, anyone investigating me, like a prosecutor investigating me, should immediately, you know, basically be fired by the attorney general. And if the attorney general doesn't work for me and protect me politically, you know, I wouldn't have hired him in the first place. We'd have been like, what? Mm-hmm. Right? We would have said that's outrageous. In fact, when Obama's attorney general, Eric Holder, said that the bankers were too big to jail, we went ballistic. That's insane. See, because we actually have principles, unlike the right wing, who have no principles. All right, I'm not done yet. Two last funny parts. He's like, the female senator from Ohio said terrible things, outrageous things. There are no female senators from Ohio.
Oh my God.
Okay. We just move on. We move on. Okay.
I missed that. I missed that part of the speech.
And the way she's against men is outrageous. It's just there are no female senators from Ohio. I don't know who he's referring to. Okay. So anyway, then last one. And I see. You know, I talked to the generals, including Mad Dog Mattis. I gave him that nickname. I saw that. I was like, did he? Because I was like, I don't remember him giving. I'm pretty sure that Mad Dog Mattis had that nickname for a long time. So I looked it up online. Jim Mattis, who was, former cabinet official in the Trump administration, during his confirmation hearings, explained his nickname and said, actually, my friends don't call me that. That's a nickname given to me by the press a long time ago, based on things that he had said about killing the enemy with enthusiasm. Okay.
Jeez.
It has nothing to do with Trump. Nothing at all. He was called that a long, long time. He can't help himself. He's literally a pathological liar. I mean, there's no reason to make, and then he went on to criticize Mattis. So there's no reason to take credit for a nickname he didn't come up with. There's no benefit in it.
Well, I mean, I think that in his mind, and maybe in the minds of others, it does benefit him in some way, because he likes to paint himself as a very stable genius, but more importantly, as like a marketing genius, right? Someone who has clever nicknames for people, someone who can really either launch or destroy someone's career based on the nickname that he gives them. So I don't know, maybe in his mind he does think that it's gonna benefit him, but either way, what does a female senator from Ohio think about this? Because I wanna know I wanna know her thoughts. I can't believe that. How is that not the... That needs to be everywhere. Like, that should be a headline everywhere. How did I miss that?
It's barely even mentioned, because he's such a lunatic that we've gotten used to all the insane things he says nonstop. If Obama had said that, they'd still be talking about it. Okay, and he once, I swear to you, go look this up. He once claimed he invented the word fake. He's like a villain out of an Austin Powers movie. Okay, he once claimed to invent the question mark. Okay, I mean, this guy, he's a laughingstock, a buffoon, and a room full of lunatics are like, yes, we're finally leading the asylum, right? They must be thrilled not to have any adult supervision.
So even with all of this madness, right? And it's not just what he said at CPAC, his actions throughout, you know, his presidency so far. His base still supports him no matter what. The Republican Party overall has an insanely high approval rating for him. So what does that say about the country? Because we can sit here and we can say anything we want about Trump, but Trump is a reflection of a far greater problem in the country.
And so this is what drives me crazy about the mainstream media, because of ratings and, you know, neutrality, etc. They refuse to criticize the ultimate source of the problem, which is the Republican voters. And they keep making excuses. Well, they would have voted for Marco Rubio. I mean, they didn't, but they would have. They would have voted for John Kasich. They didn't, but they could have and they would have. No, they had 17 choices. They clearly voted for Trump. They clearly support him in overwhelming numbers after seeing this freak show for over 2 years now, filled with crazy talk, nonstop lying, horrible treatment of other human beings.
Giant tax cuts for the wealthy, you know, filling the swamp with the biggest swamp monsters imaginable. Just basically turning his back on the voters when it comes to the Trump wall, right? Like, if that was his number one priority, why didn't he get it done when it was much easier for him to get it done? The first thing he wanted to do was tax cuts for the wealthy. So it's not just about his rhetoric, right? It's about the actions that he's taken to actually hurt his base and his voters, but they still support him. So I don't know what to say at this point.
Because they're impervious to facts and logic, but the mainstream media constantly protects them, coddles them, babies them, but sad. You can't criticize Republican voters. I mean, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. That's how you lose elections. No, you lose elections by calling things even between sane people and insane people.
Absolutely. Well, there's more to this whole CPAC coverage, and it has to do with the military. So when we come back from the break, we are going to talk about how Donald Trump made up all sorts of weird stories about his interactions with
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Generals.
All right, back on the Young Turks. I want to celebrate our partner aspiration. Together, we're sending out to do something bold, build a better world. We're doing it in our own way. Aspiration is doing it by being a progressive financial institution. They keep your money in clean companies, not oil companies, gun companies, etc. So you can do well and do good. They actually have the best rates. Well, you can't beat zero. That's what you can set your fees to if you want to. They're super lib on that. So aspiration.com/TYT, and they give away 10% to charity. Aspiration.com/TYT. Okay, I'll read some member comments here. Kosak writes in, look, I'm a historian of revolutionary activism as well as fascism, and that Michelle Malkin speech came right out of a Goebbels playbook. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Malkin crying out for, why won't people pay attention to me? Laurie Ingraham got a show on Fox News. People constantly talking about Ann Coulter. Where did I disappear to? Oh yeah, I'm gonna be even worse than them.
Yeah, I gotta say, I thought that she was gone forever, like maybe doing other things. But yeah, she returned.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, the return of the Malkin. Philip says, does Malkin not realize that if the attendees at CPAC had their way, she'd be deported? Well, that's very likely true. They're now against legal immigration. I don't know how Michelle Malkin's family got here, but if it was through family, yes, everyone in that room would want her deported. And her speech was mainly against immigrants. God. And but hey, don't call them sellouts. That's outrageous and offensive. Okay, whatever. She wrote a book celebrating the Japanese internment camps.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
These people.
They're unbelievable, man. I hope the check clears, Michelle. Okay. You can sleep at night. All right. Lucifer Vaughn says, Trump is not doing a damn thing positive for Americans. The things that they were complaining about under President Obama are the very same things that they are going to they are giving Trump credit for now. Yeah, the executive orders. Trump's like, Obama, hold my beer. Right? And before they were like, executive orders, unconstitutional, impeachable, impeachable. Now they're like, of course you gotta do executive orders. And executive orders are chump change. No, we gotta do the real deal where we just circumvent Congress completely for a strong authoritarian leader.
Jeez.
Okay?
Yeah.
No principles, ever, ever. Meanwhile, cable news will lie to you and pretend that conservatives have principles when they have shown over and over again they don't, none of them do. Okay, last one. Politic Am Girl writes in on Twitter. Don't underestimate the ability of religious zealots to ignore facts. Pretty good point. Okay.
Yeah.
Anna, what's next?
All right. During Donald Trump's 2-hour-long CPAC speech, he went off on a bizarre tangent regarding a conversation he allegedly had with a general in Iraq. Take a look.
So I met generals I didn't know. General 1, General 2, General 3. I mean, these generals, there's no person in Hollywood that could play the role. These guys are like perfect people. I said, what's your name? Sir, my name is Raisin. What the hell kind of a name? I said, Raisin, like the fruit? He goes, yes, sir, Raisin. What's your last name? Cain. Raisin Cain. I said, you gotta be kidding. It's true. Raisin Cain, General, I just made him a big star. Just like I did with Mattis when I said, we're gonna give you a new nickname, because chaos is not a good nickname. So we changed his name. Called him Mad Dog. But it wasn't working too well. Mad Dog wasn't working too well.
In California, we have a problem with people not getting the mental health care they need. And a lot of them, unfortunately, end up on the streets and they're homeless. And if you're walking down the sidewalk, you'll pass by some of them and they'll be talking to themselves and rambling and ranting. And that's what Donald Trump sounds like.
Yeah.
He needs to get help. Okay, yeah. With his like sweaty upper lip situation going on, like he looks like a crazed maniac.
Yeah, some become homeless, some wind up getting a house called the White House. So let's break down the madness over there. First of all, as we told you earlier in the show, he did not come up with the nickname Mad Dog. Mad Dog Mattis had that nickname for a long time. It was given to him by the press. Just makes up stuff like a lunatic, okay? And you know, like the Raisin. General 1, General 2, General 3, whatever their names are. If Obama had said General 1, General 2, General 3, whatever, right? They'd be like, unpatriotic scum, right?
I will say, I did appreciate how he popped an imaginary raisin in his mouth in the middle of that speech.
Now, he's gonna reveal state secrets in a minute. Okay, but does this sound like a mentally stable person to you guys? But actually the most interesting part of that to me was, he's like, they look like perfect people. And he's obsessed and he goes on and on during the speech about how they were out of central casting. Why do you care what they look like? What, you're such a weirdo.
So this is a pattern that you'll see with Trump if you follow his political career closely. In fact, he said something very similar after meeting with Chinese officials. Take a look.
Basketball players out, the three basketball players. That was a beautiful scene. I was in China and I said, Mr. President, could you do me a favor? Could you let the three basketball players out? He didn't know about it. He called over his people. He's got 10 people standing behind him. Everyone is central casting. Glasses, pad, boom, he was over it.
But this isn't a reality show. This isn't casting for a movie or a television series. Like, this is the real world.
He says it in public all the time. And then when they report on behind the scenes him saying it again, he'll be like, oh, no, fake news. So the generals that he's picked, including Mad Dog Mattis in the beginning, John Kelly, who was the chief of staff, et cetera, he said they're straight out of central casting. Who cares? Who cares what they look like? Why don't you pick them based on their talents or policy positions, et cetera? And it was reported that he was considering Mitt Romney for Secretary of State. Now, Mitt Romney and him don't get along at all. Mitt Romney was pretty tough on him during the 2016 election. Why? He said, because he looks like he's straight out of central casting.
He does look like he's out of central casting.
That's true, but who cares? Who cares? This guy's crazy.
I'm just saying, look, right? we criticize Trump a lot and he deserves the criticism, but we should give him credit for when he's right. And he is right about Mitt Romney looking like he's out of central casting.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't question whether there actually is a general named Raisin Cain. But could you imagine if there isn't?
Okay, I can't imagine that there isn't. I can imagine that everything that he's saying is completely made up. But that phrase, Raisin Cain, it just sparked something in my head. I'm like, that sounds familiar. I'm gonna Google this, I'm gonna look into it. And it's actually an American idiom. Did you know that?
Yes.
Raisin Cain, it means to cause commotion, to create a disturbance, to make trouble.
So here are the two generals that he particularly likes so far. A guy who basically raises hell and causes trouble. You know, at a minimum, that's a nickname that the guy apparently has. Another one was Mad Dog Mattis, whose other nickname was Chaos.
Right.
So, and you voted for Chaos, you got Chaos.
And by the way, do you know where the Cain part of that idiom comes from?
The Bible.
Yeah, the Old Testament.
Yes.
It's the son, Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, who killed his brother Abel. Fun.
Well, maybe for conservatives.
Anyway, so there's more on this weird rant about generals in the military. Let's go to the next video.
So I have Raisin Cain, three other generals, colonels, sergeants, and I said, bring the cameras, I'm gonna make a movie. This is the most incredible thing. And I said to the generals, listen, we gotta get out. I wanna know, why is it gonna take 2 years to knock off 2 or 3 or 4%, which is what we had left? It won't, sir. I said, tell me why it won't. It won't, sir. If we attack them in a different manner, we can do it much faster. Okay, General Raisin Cain, how fast can, sir, we can have it totally finished in 1 week. I said, 1 week? I was told 2 years. 1 week. That's right, sir. We're only hitting them from a temporary base in Syria. But if you gave us permission, we could hit them from the back, from the side, from all over, from the base that you're right on right now, sir. They won't know what the hell hit them.
Okay, so you listen to this, you know, commentary from a made-up general. Did you do anything? I mean, aren't we still involved in Iraq?
Yeah, it's been more than a week since you came back from Iraq, so why isn't it solved already? Okay, so we're kidding about the general being made up, but
kind of. Okay. We don't know. We don't know.
No. Okay, look, he did make up earlier that he was really mad at a crazy U.S. senator from Ohio. That's a woman. There are no women senators from Ohio. So there's no end to what he'll make up. But anyway, on this point, look, he just revealed what our alternative strategy apparently is, which to hit ISIS from Iraq. Although I don't think that's an alternative strategy because I've read it in the press.
Right.
Okay, so but he doesn't read anything. So he doesn't know what our strategy is in terms of hitting ISIS. And so there is, you have to be really infantile to think, hey, you know what? If we just hit ISIS from a secret place that we could just get rid of them in a week. And if you really did believe that, why didn't you order it? Why aren't they already gone and obliterated within the week? So it makes no sense at all. And if you're going to do that, shush, don't tell everyone, because you're saying this on national television. What happened to I don't want to tell you my strategy on getting rid of ISIS, because I wouldn't want them to know. Except you just did.
Yeah, look, I am partly kidding when I say that he's making things up. I don't know for sure, I'm speculating, right? And the reason why I'm speculating and why I have a hunch that some of this stuff is made up is because it makes no sense, as you just perfectly made clear, right? And so the way that he speaks, for some reason, resonates with them, right? Like he's playing this up, he's making it seem as though he's some sort of hero to these generals, that he's the only person who's ever listened to what the generals believe or think. Remember, this is someone who refuses to sit down for national security briefings every day. He doesn't want to listen to the intelligence community about potential threats to US security.
And during his entire campaign, all he ever did was complain about how the generals are so bad and they couldn't win in Iraq, and under me, we'll get tired of winning, right? And then nonstop attack against the generals. I mean, look, I don't mind, just stay consistent for a second. He gets in, but he hires nothing but generals. He goes, why? Because they're out of central casting, including H.R. McMaster, et cetera. So is the general real? Even with Trump, I'd be surprised if he wasn't real. But did that conversation unfold in the way that he just explained it? No way, it's inconceivable.
So there's one final part that I want to show you. And again, this is about the same topic, his conversation with these generals.
And I said, why didn't my other generals tell me that? Why didn't they tell me that? I said, did you tell them that? Not our place to say it, sir. They come in from Washington, sir. We have to take orders. You're the first one to ask us our opinion. True.
So I went back and I said, I'm going to get back to you soon, Raisin. I think you're great. I like you, Raisin Kane.
Okay. Okay. So two things. First of all, we looked it up. His nickname could be Raisin, and which would make sense because then it would be a nickname because it's Raisin Kane. Get it? As Anna explained earlier. The only thing we could find was a Brigadier General Daniel Kane. Probably him, but we don't know. I mean, but he's like, hey, my name's Raisin Kane. He's like, oh wow, that's your real name. That's amazing. Okay, but back to the substance. So he said, all the other generals wouldn't tell me. So this general told you in front of all the other generals how they're all stupid and hiding stuff from you.
That's how generals work.
Yeah. And I bet the other generals loved that. And the only thing they loved more was you saying it on national TV. If Obama had done that, revealed a secret strategy for hitting ISIS, and said all of his generals are stupid and there's only one good guy, and he went beyond the chain of command to tell him, and then he said it like a deranged person in the middle of a liberal conference.
Done. He'd be impeached. Done. He would have been impeached by now. Like, speech happens an hour later, you're done. Bye, Mr. President. Good day.
All of the Republicans that your whole lifetime have been telling you that you have to revere the military, you have to support the troops, the generals are God's gift to humanity, now all turn around and go, yeah, of course Trump is right. All the generals are stupid idiots. There's only one good guy, and his name is Raisin. Okay. All right. Well, I told you, Republicans have no principles.
One final part of the CPAC event that I want to share with you all. Donald Trump loves to pretend as if he cares a great deal about free speech. In fact, during his speech at CPAC, he invited on stage a young man by the name of Hayden Williams. He's a conservative activist who was actually punched at the University of California at Berkeley's campus last month. Now, we're consistent on this issue. I don't care if I agree with your politics and completely disagree with the politics of the individual that you're attacking. You do not attack someone simply because they have different political opinions. You're on a college campus, you don't want to hear them speak, then don't go watch them speak. But don't assault someone because you disagree with them, period. Done. That's the end of the discussion. Now, Trump used that and exploited it to make a point about free speech that he's actually very hypocritical about. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But Cenk, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, look, when there was a so-called debate about whether it's okay to punch a fascist, one of the things we said here was, yeah, but where's the line? First of all, no, it's not okay, because once you resort to violence, you've opened up a Pandora's box. It's a terrible idea overall, and it's illegal, it's wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But besides which, are you sure that that person is a fascist, and where do you draw the line? And here we are. So Hayden Williams seems to be a conservative that I wouldn't agree with at all, but no indication that he's a fascist, but he's getting punched anyway. So now look, the actual fact pattern of that case is way different than you're hearing in the media. The guy who punched him is totally wrong and now has been arrested. Okay, that's not the issue. But it's not like he's like, oh, here's a conservative, I'm just gonna go punch him in the face.
Right, exactly. Right. Like, you have to look into the details of it. Again, we don't agree with anyone being punched in the face for differing political views. But I feel like the media, the mainstream media in particular, really whitewashes that story and makes it seem like, oh no, this is just a completely innocent guy who says completely innocent things, and no one ever really disagrees with anything he has to say except for those crazy radical liberals.
So I'll tell you what actually happened at Berkeley at the end, because it's relevant to the story, but let's do Trump, let's do his hypocrisy, and then I'll tell you what the reality is.
Today I'm proud to announce that I will be very soon signing an executive order requiring colleges and universities to support free speech. If they want our dollars, and we give it to them by the billions, they've got to allow people like Hayden and many other great young people and old people to speak.
So he says he's going to sign an executive order protecting free speech on college campuses. Now, you can do that on public campuses, right, that are funded through federal money or taxpayer money. But you kind of don't even have to do that because free speech is protected under our Constitution, or it should be, right? Now, the White House has not announced any details about the executive order, probably because Trump just randomly mentioned it in the middle of this 2-hour rambling speech. But I do want to call him out on his hypocrisy, because while I definitely value free speech, conservatives like him who claim they value free speech don't really value it, because when push comes to shove, they love censorship. In fact, here's Donald Trump himself fighting for censorship.
And I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake.
When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Just dishonest, terrible people. I'm telling you that. Terrible people. So here was the story by the fake news.
But the people that are supporting me in particular, they're very smart people. They know when the news is fake. And they get angry when they see all of the fakeness.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people. And they are. They are the enemy of the people.
Whatever happened to fair press? Whatever happened to honest reporting?
Chris, I'm calling the fake news is the enemy. It's fake. It's phony.
And that's why 33% of the people in this country believe the fake news is, in fact, and I hate to say this, in fact, the enemy of the people. But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
By the way, I hate some of these people, but I'd never kill them. I hate them. I'll be honest. I would never kill them. I would never do that. No, I wouldn't. I would never kill him, but I do hate him.
So let me get this right. A guy who brags about, I probably won't kill members of the press, now telling us he's a champion of freedom of speech and presumably freedom of the press, which is also in the First Amendment. And so that's hypocrisy number one. And by the way, today, New Yorker magazine with a story out with that Jane Mayer got an exclusive on, where Donald Trump tried to block the AT&T Time Warner merger because he said he didn't like what CNN was saying about him. And he's a champion of freedom of speech. Hilarious. But all right wingers are guilty. Yes, I said all. They have no principles. So they'll turn around at the same time and go, the states and the federal government should pass laws making criticism of Israel illegal. That you'll lose state contracts and federal contracts if you criticize the state of Israel and call for a boycott, divestment, or sanction policy. Wait a minute, I thought you were for freedom of speech. That's criticizing not even our government, a different government. No, we hate freedom of speech. We just want to be able to say racist things.
No, that's exactly right. So I wanted to bring up that point as well, and I wanted to make sure I had my facts straight. So as I was researching that story, I actually came across something that was not widely reported. The Trump administration actually changed the definition of what qualifies as anti-Semitic. And so they would be able to, essentially blame someone of anti-Semitism when they're merely practicing political speech and simply criticizing Israel and maybe its treatment of Palestinians, whatever it is, right? Now, keep in mind, they will fight to protect the free speech rights of hate speech, which is protected under our Constitution, right? I don't think that we can go in there and stop people from saying hateful things. But if you are merely critical of the Israeli government in a way that is deemed anti-Semitic by this ridiculous definition that the Trump administration put out, well, then you could face consequences for that. So let me give you the details. So Inside Higher Ed wrote about this and said, civil liberties groups have long warned that a new definition of anti-Semitism quietly adopted by the education department would stifle speech on campuses. So this has to do with college campuses, free speech on college campuses. The education department embraced Judaism as an ethnicity and adopted a hotly contested definition of anti-Semitism that included denying the Jewish people the right to self-determination by, for example, claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor and applying double standards by requiring of Israel a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. So
for example, if you said, hey, Israel should not kill civilians at a disproportionate rate in Gaza when they have conflicts there. About 100-to-1 ratio of civilians killed in Israel versus Gaza. I don't want civilians killed anywhere. They say, well, see, you're holding Israel to a standard that no other democratic nation is subjected to, who can kill anyone they like. It's not remotely true.
Right.
We hold America to the same standard. We hold all the other countries to the same standard. But under their definition, anti-Semitic. And your speech is banned. Your mm-hmm. speech criticizing Israel is banned. You see how they're for free speech? Hilarious, hilarious. They're a total and utter joke. And the fact that the mainstream media takes Republicans seriously as if they have principles. And like in this country, because of the mainstream media constantly being neutral to reality and the truth, right now if you ask people who's more of a champion of free speech, Republicans or Democrats, I bet you the answer would be Republicans. Because they're always going out there, do free speech, free speech. I mean, I'm gonna make it illegal to do free speech I don't like, but I wanna be saying racist and horrible things. In fact, on the issue of anti-Semitism, pretending to care about anti-Semitism in order to protect Israel, but then Trump turned around and said the people who were chanting the Jews will not replace us, that there were good people on that side.
Very fine people on that side.
are you anti-Semitism? We're talking about anti-Semitism. Okay, and on that issue, hey, free speech. They had free speech about to hate Jews, right? But not Israel. That's a different thing, okay? Anyway, last thing is back to Berkeley, okay? So they're like, oh my God, this guy gets punched. It makes it sound like, now he's saying, I'm gonna take funds away from Berkeley. Makes it sound like the dean of Berkeley went and punched the guy. Was it a dean faculty member? Was it someone in the staff? Was it a Berkeley student, right? Was it anybody from Berkeley? No, it turns out the guy was not a student who punched him. So the guy who got punched is not a Berkeley student. The guy who punched him is not a Berkeley student. It happened to happen on campus. And by the way, the fight actually started from some disagreement that they were having over some pamphlets or whatever, and then the table got overturned, and next thing you know, they're fighting and he punches him. Okay, now that's a terrible thing. He should be arrested. I'm glad he is. Okay, by the way, you know who else is glad he's arrested? Berkeley. They immediately put out a statement saying, we're gonna go find the guy, we're gonna make sure he's arrested. And then they said, you're telling us that the college itself is not supportive of free speech. He's like, they explained, you know how many conservative speakers we've had on college campus in the last year? 9, Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens, Dave Rubin. Okay, I wonder how much the Koch brothers paid him for that speech. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, so have they had 9 online progressives? Have they had 9 progressives, period? Who got paid at Berkeley as to be a progressive here? I don't know. But conservatives, they shower with money. At Berkeley, they can't stop paying conservatives to come speak. Has there been any violent incidents this year around those 9 speakers? None. You know how much they spent on security? $4 million.
Jesus.
On security alone, okay? Why? Because Fox News is constantly, and Trump, et cetera. Oh, Berkeley's dangerous, Berkeley's violent. So they spend $4 million to make sure nothing happens. There's no impropriety. Some dude walks onto a college campus, punches someone, and Trump's like, Berkeley, we're gonna take away money from Berkeley. They don't care about the facts. Why are we having conversations and debates with people who constantly lie?
They especially don't care about the facts when they want to carry out something anyway, right? Of course they want to defund or take money away from universities like Berkeley.
Of course, because they have scientists and they have teachers and they have facts.
Right.
They don't want you to have any of that. All they want is just you to have Fox News and their propaganda. They constantly attack every source of information you could possibly get. So this is a win-win from them. In fact, it's a triple win. They get to be victims. They get to be a proponent of whatever hateful speech that conservatives want to make on campus, and defund universities in the meanwhile. And who helps them? Look, I'm telling you, mainstream media, prove me wrong. Hey, did you do a story about the real facts at Berkeley? Did you do a story about how much the Republicans are fighting against free speech at the national level, at the state level, and on college campuses? Did you do that story, mainstream media? No, you blindly and dutifully reported it as if, oh my God, liberals hate free speech. And then Bill Maher will come in and help you out. And,
yep.
And then all they have is this propaganda machine that overwhelms the truth.
And this is why it's easy for people to believe someone like Trump, who accuses the media of being fake news. I mean, when he says that, of course, it's to go after the press when they accurately report on him in a negative way, right? But I mean, they're only hurting themselves. Do you think the public is gonna keep believing your news outlet while you run with these ridiculous narratives? Anyway, I have a joke I've been sitting on for far too long because you were talking.
Sorry. So this will be good because she's now previewed it that way. So no way that this is gonna be awkward.
So you know how the two got into a fight at Berkeley over pamphlets?
Uh-huh.
We gotta remember that we're all Americans here, okay? We gotta look out for each other. I believe we should live and pamphlet live.
Oh, that's terrible, Anna. Oh, why did you do that?
Come on.
Why did you do that?
I'm getting a round of applause. Brett's giving me a thumbs down. Okay, fine.
Okay, right.
We gotta go to break.
All right. Oh, now we gotta go to break. Okay.
Gotta go to break. Get off it.
Okay, listen. I will make up for that because in the post game. No, I'm gonna give Anna credit on the housing issue. We're finally gonna have that conversation.
On Tuesday, I can't today. I'm not in the post game today.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, but Tuesday for sure.
Yeah, but for members, it'll be Redemption Tuesday for Anna.
Yeah,
okay. So tyt.com/trial to get a free week of Young Turks membership. And again, imagine a world where there isn't a Young Turks and all there is mainstream media and right-wing media.
I can't accept that.
I hope you can't accept that. TYT.com/join and become a member and get all of our shows and TYT.com/trial to try for a week free. Okay, we'll be.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Be right back. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on the Young Turks. I mean, we both have a fun time and a disastrous time on this show.
That's true. It really is.
It's a roller coaster ride every single day.
Last week, and if you're a member, you know last week was a roller coaster ride. Anyway, I come into the office and I sit next to Dave Kohler, and Dave was like, "How you doing today? You look kind of smiley. It's been a roller coaster for you this week, hasn't it?" Just like made me laugh.
Well, leave it to Dave. All right, you can check out Dave Kohler on Friday's post games, which are now an hour long for the members. So that's I saw something online that said like totally plastic or something. It's just a random thing, and I was like, totally plastic or totally BS? I immediately thought of Friday's post game. Anyway, it turns out, by the way, today's post game is gonna have JR. I'm kidding, JR. Okay, Anna can't be here. And tomorrow. So Redemption Tuesday has been moved to Redemption Wednesday for Anna.
Yeah.
So that, again, that's just for the members. TYT.com/join. Okay. Josh writes in, speaking of members, in the member section, "I was in the military. No general would introduce himself by their first name. He's definitely made that story up." Of course. Okay. Jasmine says, "Raising Cane is also the name of a delicious chicken tender restaurant here in the South."
Yes.
Hashtag special sauce. I mean, did he do it based on the chicken? Maybe the guy said like Bob Kane, and he's like, "Raising Cane, got it."
I love that there's a chicken restaurant named after that idiom, which means to cause chaos. Like, they're causing chaos with those chicken fingers.
Well, that makes me want to eat it. I'm like, Jesus, how are they doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, last one from the member section. Zero Divisor says, "Trump is the perfect symbol for the rotting American empire." My dad agrees and says it every day. Okay, Tannen Kasol says on Twitter, the federal officers who come and handcuff Trump to go to prison will probably not be from Central Casting. Okay, but if they are, you'd be like, oh, they look like they're from Central Casting. Okay, at least that's good. That's good. Okay. And on YouTube Super Chat, Jonathan Scott says, shouldn't the Just Democrats call to hypocrisy of the Democratic establishment for the attacks against them? What is the downside of fighting back just as hard and dirty? You know what, Jonathan, that's such a good question. I'm going to answer that in the postgame. So JR and I will talk about that in another story from today's show. So tyt.com/trial to get a free week of Young Turks and check out the postgames and the dozens of progressive shows that we have for you guys. But I'll definitely talk about the limitations that the JDs have in Congress. Okay, all right, Anna, what's next?
All right. The New Yorker published an explosive piece that outed the Trump administration on a number of things. But for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to focus on what Fox News had done to help Donald Trump in the run-up to the election. So according to a former Fox News reporter, Fox knew about the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, but refused to publish it. So former FoxNews.com reporter Diana Falzone had obtained proof of the affair and confirmed it with several key sources, including Daniels and her ex-husband. Falzone had also reportedly obtained emails between Daniels's attorney and Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, that showed that Cohen had proposed to pay cash to Daniels in exchange for a non-disclosure agreement. But they did not publish it. Fox didn't publish it. They didn't cover it on Fox News Channel. In fact, when the reporter Falzone went to one of the executives at Fox with this story, Ken LaCourte, he's a former Fox News executive. Here's what he allegedly told her. Good reporting, kiddo, but Rupert Murdoch wants Donald Trump to win, so just let it go.
Damn, that is corroborated by another source at Fox News. So now Fox News says, oh no, of course we would never do that.
Please.
Come on. So. Great reporting by Jane Mayer, as usual, in The New Yorker. She's got a lot of sources from inside Fox News. Another thing that she reports about them, which is obvious, you can see it, and we've shown it to you several times on The Young Turks. She said they take stories from the most outlandish right-wing blog posts that have not anywhere attached to reality. And they run it on Fox News. But the problem is Donald Trump's watching Fox News like 6 hours a day. So he then the president takes it, and then he starts to try to make US policy around something that started in an alt-right blog. Mm-hmm. That's most of the time totally made up.
And it's just, yeah, and it's a vicious cycle. And so look, oftentimes, and I want to just quickly address this. I know it's a little bit of a tangent, but oftentimes I know there was a Politico piece recently covering Nomiki Konst and her race in New York for public advocate. And they referred to us, the Young Turks, as the left's response to Breitbart. Mm-hmm. No, but here's the thing, and I hope that people understand this. I have no interest in making things up. I have no interest in slandering people, defaming people, just completely making stories up in order to help a political candidate or a political party, right? And everything that we say can be verified by doing your own research. And if we get something wrong, we go to extreme lengths to make sure that we come back and let the audience know, hey, we got this wrong, we apologize, here's what the real facts of the story are. But like Breitbart just completely misreports, completely lies. And it's not the only right-wing outlet that does that.
Daily Caller does it.
So Fox News will take those stories and they'll run with it. Trump will watch that content and then make decisions about how to run the country based on that. That's insane.
Look, I don't even want to get into the names of the other alt-right blogs, but almost every story that's made it into the news from those blogs has been disproven. And so, but Fox News doesn't care because it's not about the news, it's about propaganda. So a lot of this article was also spent talking about how deeply enmeshed Fox News and the Trump administration are. Honestly, that one I care less about. So Sean Hannity's deeply conservative, and he apparently talks to Donald Trump every night after his show.
Jesus.
I know, but I actually don't care. They're both peas in a pod. They agree. They're both conservative. And Sean Hannity is an opinion host. So that one is, to me, less offensive. My number one problem with Fox News used to be that they were called themselves fair and balanced, which was a joke. And Roger Ailes, who originally ran the organization, was a terrible person, but was smart. And he talked about how he called it fair and balanced as a way of doing propaganda, right?
Right.
And so, but the core of this story is super important, because what they're now reporting is that no, it's not just, oh, their opinion shows, which are the morning and at night, etc. No, their executives tell their reporters, their so-called reporters, and some of them are real reporters, because look, she broke a story, she had it before anybody else, right? And they tell them, nice try, kid. We're not doing that here. We're doing propaganda. We want Trump to win, so we're gonna bury any bad stories about him. That's hideous.
Okay.
Then you're not doing advocacy journalism. You're not doing any journalism. You're
right.
Just doing propaganda.
Okay, so I have a number of things to say. First off, look, I don't have a problem with Sean Hannity hitting up his daddy after the show every day just to talk to him and whatever, maybe make sure that, you know, his father isn't upset with him. But there needs to be transparency. And I think at this point, most people know that Hannity has that relationship. I think that it's problematic when a news host or someone in the media has that type of tight relationship, but isn't honest or upfront about it. The second thing I want to mention is, look, it's abundantly clear, especially considering the recent reporting from the New Yorker, that Fox News is nothing more than a propaganda outlet. But think about how many people came out of Fox News and got accepted in the so-called legitimate media as news hosts. Mm. How often has that happened? I mean, you have Abby Huntsman sitting on the panel of The View, pretending as if like her stint at Fox News never existed. It existed, homegirl, we all know, right?
And by the way, today she comes out and says like, well, if this is true, this is a real problem at Fox.
Please.
Oh, get out of here. If this is true, and like, golly gee, this is the first time I heard of gambling in this establishment, okay? So, and look, guys, Brave New Films covered this in a movie over a decade ago. And internal memos have been reported over and over again of the news directors telling the anchors what they are to say for political purposes. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? So yes, are there some anchors and some reporters at Fox News that never got an actual memo? It was more subtle. It was, hey, you do that, you stay on air, maybe you get a promotion. You do that, you do not stay on air. When your contract's up, we're done with you, etc. Most of the time, it was more subtle. Sometimes they just did the memos and we found the memos. So every time that there's this story, people are like, you know what? It turns out now Fox News might be doing propaganda. I got news for you. They were set up to be a propaganda organization from day one. Who are you kidding? Okay, last thing on this, Trump also in this story apparently wanted to block the AT&T Time Warner merger because he was upset at CNN, and CNN's within Time Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Advocate of free speech, Donald Trump, hilarious. Okay, and that's obviously deeply problematic, even Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, tweeting impeachable offense if he is, now that is the government, that's an actual freedom of speech issue, okay? Not, hey, I don't like Colin Kaepernick, and so I'm gonna, Nike is doing X. No, we're talking about the government, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Trump saying that he's going to economically damage CNN because he does not like their speech. That violates freedom of speech, freedom of the press, etc., right? And apparently, he told Gary Cohn, and this is reported again in the New Yorker, Gary Cohn, who was his top economic advisor, and John Kelly, who was his chief of staff, both at the time, they're not there anymore. What do I have to tell you guys, 50 times? I told you, block the deal, okay? Very clear order. Apparently, Gary Cohn comes out of that meeting and turns to John Kelly and says, do not do that under any circumstance. We'll all get in trouble, okay? And so just ignore his order, he'll just forget. And they ignored his order as usual because he's a lunatic and does not believe in our form of government.
So, is that why CNN decided to hire right-wing political hacks as news editors? And are they hoping to get on Trump's good side by doing that?
Because I'm sure it'll work. So once you hired Isger from the Trump administration, I'm sure Trump's gonna be really nice to you. Well played.
We got to take a break. When we come back, some good news. Emma Vigeland, our very own reporter, went to a Bernie rally and spoke to the rally goers. What do they have to say about the media?
Yeah, exactly. It relates exactly to this story. So is the jury in on what progressives think about the media? Really interesting story. Let's do it when we come back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.